Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's up, family? Welcome to Speak. There is no bigger story right now in sports than that of the NFL draft. We are one day away from your favorite team changing the trajectory of their future and winning a Super Bowl, unless your favorite team, well, they're the Chiefs. They always win. But how about the Dallas Cowboys? Because Jerry Jones, he had a very interesting quote within the last 24 hours. He said this about his quarterback situation. Look, we want Dak Prescott. That's that. I give Mike McCarthy a lot of credit for Prescott's improvement last season. That improvement, it demonstrated to me there's more as far as ultimately winning what we're trying to do here. So the question is simple. The Dallas Cowboys, they have a first-round pick, but how in the world should they utilize it? It's the last year of Dak Prescott's deal. It does not get any bigger in sports than the conversation we are about to have. So if you thought about changing the channel, think again. Let's head to the desk. 2-5.
Yo,
it's good to see you, big dog. It's always good to see you. More today than most days, but it's always good to see
more
you.
More today?
I'm around.
That's Eagles all-time rushing leader, LeSean Shady McCoy. On the far end, that is James Jones. To his right, it is Joy Taylor. Let's get right to it. It's draft season. It's almost draft day. Shady McCoy, this is a question that everybody wants to know the answer to, particularly Cowboys fans. Should the Cowboys draft Dak Prescott's replacement?
You mean right now?
Yes, sir.
Should have been did that.
Ooh.
I mean, same results, right? Great regular season. This year was even greater. Give him credit for that, but it's the same thing. They do well, and then they get to the postseason, and he shows up. Pick. So if you're asking me, I would definitely get his replacement. And even if it's not a first-rounder, even a second-rounder. I mean, the Cowboys showed you before that, hey, we get you a franchise quarterback, not in the first or second round. You can go later than that. And they did it with Tony Romo, and they did it with Dak Prescott. I just think like, it's time. Every good thing comes to an end. Mm. I think my dad's over there. Anyway, Dak has done a good thing for the Cowboys, yes. Right? His time is up. Mm. It's the reason why they ain't paid him yet. Mm. What quarterback that has a second MVP running and an all-pro and don't get a contract extension? Right? That don't never happen.
Good question.
But when you have other great players that are greater than you on your team that you got to go out there and pay, and the main focus is always the quarterback, but every time it gets into the postseason, he shows up in a negative way. So if you're asking me, man, hey, man. Dak, your time is up.
Draft a quarterback, James Jones. Do the Cowboys do it? Should they draft his replacement?
Not in the first round. We're talking first round?
Anytime.
Any round.
Should they draft his replacement?
No. Dak Prescott is going to be the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys we know this season.
Yes, sir.
You have a chance to compete at a high level this season. Go get you a player that's going to contribute this season and help your team win. We talk about it all the time. The Dallas Cowboys has had really good quarterbacks over the last couple decades in the National Football League, from Tony Romo to Dak Prescott, and they still have not gotten over the hump. Go out there and get you a really good player in the first round. Get you some more good players in the second and third round to build up this roster. You need linemen. You need a third receiver. Who knows what's going to happen with CeeDee Lamb? You might have to take one of these receivers in the first round. Is CeeDee Lamb over here telling you he's going to hold out, or are you going to have to pay him? So it's just some spots on their team that they need to fill. And right now, as we sit here at this desk right now, quarterback is not one of them. This is an all-pro quarterback. Anybody will take an all-pro quarterback on your team, and we're talking about drafting a quarterback for your replacement. I say no. Get those other pieces that you need to help your roster go compete and try to get over the hump this season.
Joy Taylor, what do you say? We heard James say no.
I mean, based off of what the Cowboys are doing, yes, they should draft his replacement. But based off of what they're saying, they should not draft his replacement.
So what are
y'all talking about? Because I really like to pay attention to what people do. That's mm-hmm. more important to me. People say a lot, blah, 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 blah. What do you actually do? Mm. Well, what the Cowboys are doing is not extending Dak Prescott.
Yep.
Right? He's coming off of an all-pro season, was runner-up in MVP, had the best year of his career. It would be a no-brainer, as he said, we want Dak, we don't have to blink an eye, don't have to blink an eye. Where's the extension? Where's the conversations? Where's the contract then? What you're doing is not matching what you're saying. So based off of what they're doing, yes, they should draft his replacement, because what you're doing is illustrating that you are planning on moving on from Dak Prescott, mm-hmm. at best putting yourself in a situation where you're going to have to overpay or pay what the market is demanding for Dak Prescott, because he will be a free agent after this year, based off of what you're doing. So I'm confused. Could someone explain to me what the Cowboys' plan is? Because what they're saying is not matching what they're doing.
Maybe their plan is the third overall pick they traded for.
Trey Lance?
I'm just saying, we don't know how he's developing. He has not played. You're sitting over here telling us that you're not going to extend Dak Prescott. Is the young fella showing you something? That's the only thing I could go to, because I can't see them drafting a quarterback in the first round. And then when you say replacement, it's not a lot of replacements that come in there in the second and third and fourth round. Really, unless the quarterback in front of you gets hurt or he's just absolutely terrible.
James, that's where I'm at with it. The Cowboys, if they're going to draft his replacement, you got to do it in the first round. What I've learned about the NFL more now than ever, you can't cheat the system. Cowboys have been trying to cheat the system the last 15 years. Tony Romo, undrafted. Dak Prescott, fourth round pick. But if you look at the quarterbacks who win Super Bowls more often than not, you have Patrick Mahomes, first round pick. You have Matthew Stafford, first round pick. Joe Burrow went first round pick. Jalen Hurts went high second round pick, but we all know how good that roster was. I love Brock Purdy more than anybody likely on national television, but we know how good that San Francisco 49ers roster is. I don't think you can cheat the NFL anymore. There are not the days in my mind of finding quarterbacks late, and those days never really existed. Right now, the Joe Burrows of the world are great, number one overall. The Patrick Mahomes, top 10, top 11. The Josh Allens, I believe he was top 10 as well. The Lamar Jackson's first round picks. Great quarterbacks cost you a great fortune. So the Cowboys aren't going to be able to cheat the system if they think they can. James, you said something interesting. You said help the roster out. I want to agree with you, but the roster isn't what's keeping the Cowboys from winning the big games. Dak Prescott last year in the playoffs. This is objective. This is not my subjective opinion. This is not a hit job on Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott versus the San Francisco 49ers. If you want to add nuance and context, you could say that Tony Pollard got hurt, I think, in the first or second quarter of that game. Dak Prescott the year before. You don't have to blame that on him, though I would have liked him to slide sooner, spike the ball so you have a chance to win that game, or at least have a chance at the end zone. So Dak Prescott has been what's kept the Cowboys from winning a game versus the Packers. It wasn't a roster issue. It was a quarterback issue. Yeah. I would address that issue.
So really quick, you're the Dallas Cowboys right now, and you're telling me you addressed the quarterback issue at, what, 23, 24? Yeah. Who you getting? So now you're saying, as a Dallas Cowboys team, we're finna trade a bunch of picks to move up?
No. That's a really good point. I would see how it goes. That's a phenomenal point. I'm not trading into the top four or the top three to try to get Jaden Daniels or Drake May. I am not doing that. But if in the first round, a first-round quarterback talent presents itself, a Michael Penix. If you believe J.J. McCarthy is a first-round talent, him, I don't. If in the first round a first-round quarterback presents itself, you have to take that. Because, James, I can't do what you're suggesting. I can't improve the roster. So it had eight All-Pros. The roster's not getting much better.
But that's last year, though. We're talking about this year and what they need this year, right? You lose Tony Pollard, you're going to need a running back.
Yes, sir.
You lose Gallup, you're going to need a number three receiver.
Yes, sir.
You give him a lot
you need
year.
Some work on the offensive line.
Yes, sir.
There's a lot of pieces to where you need help. Not saying they don't have a lot of talent, but it's not the same exact team
Agreed.
As last year
Agreed.
Rolling over.
But
you got to fill these spots.
You're right there. He's right there, 2-5. I believe he's right there, Joy. But where I'm at is, say you fill those spots as well as you filled them last year. Because last year, your left tackle was Tyron Smith, who will go into the Hall of Fame. So that spot. Last year, your center was Tyler Biadasz. He's now with the Washington Commanders. Assume you fill those spots as well as you did last year. You still ended up getting blown out by your Green Bay Packers at home with a younger head coach, a younger quarterback, a younger team, and a worse team that had less to play for. Mm-hmm. So even if you fill those spots, that is not the answer.
So you're basically saying don't win this year, draft a quarterback that's not going to play?
What I'm saying is they have a really, really, really good roster, right? Every team you play for or in the NFL, there's going to be some spots that they're going to have full. That's
that.
How it works,
I
right? But the problem is we want to sit up here and act like they need so much help. Quarterbacks would die to play for that team. Mm-hmm. Quarterbacks would die to play for that team, James, right? And then when you look at the Cowboys, it's like, yo, that's the best situation for a young quarterback to go to and play for. If you don't believe me, look at Brock Purdy.
Much as you want to say this, that, and the third, right? Yo, him playing for that team, he doesn't have to be special all the time. That's what it is. Just don't lose it. So if you're talking about getting a replacement, I think this would be a perfect time because they have the roster for that.
I mean, they spent an NFL low $13.7 million in free agency. They lost a bunch of players, eight players in free agency. That's tied for the third most ever in a single offseason for the Cowboys. This isn't going to exactly be the same roster. Mm-hmm. They do have places, things they need to fill, but
a lot.
They are always good, goodish, great when it comes to the roster, and they always seem to fall short at the quarterback position. But waiting to see what happens with a quarterback
that is another thing.
Seems like a kind of iffy plan. Mm. That's a little wishy-washy for me.
That's fair.
I hear you, but with the amount of quarterbacks that we are estimating will go high in this draft, it's likely that someone available at that spot wouldn't be someone that you would draft in the first round. You might wait on. Is that the right choice when you have all these roster spots? I don't know. But that also leads me to my original point is, what is the plan? Because you're saying that you want Dak Prescott, but you're not renewing Dak Prescott. If you let Dak Prescott play on this, by the way, Dak Prescott might not, because as we had a very heated discussion earlier this week, Dak might just be the bad guy and force his way into an extension, right? Like, which is what we are anticipating. Smart. He's probably going to do because he's being chill now, but he might not be closer to the start of the season. So then he gets an extension. So it just doesn't seem like they really know what they want to do. They'd like to move on from Dak Prescott, perhaps. He has a no-trade clause. They're not able to do that. They don't really they're not in a position to have a replacement. But here's the thing with the Cowboys in the draft. They're never going to be at the top of the draft.
Correct.
So at what point do you actually, if you wanted to get a first round player, you would eventually have to use picks to move up and get a quarterback if you wanted to take a quarterback in the first round, because they're always going to be picking around this area.
Let me ask you a question. So, because y'all keep talking about the roster, who did lose that was so important? Tyron Smith? Because he's always hurt. He's always hurt.
Pollard wasn't good this year. Okay. I can't count him.
But I'm just saying.
Running backs, I think in football, right, this is not my opinion, but most people would say that the easiest position on the offense replaces
running backs.
No, not receivers. They said running backs. That's why we get paid the least, right? Okay. Who else? I'm just trying to figure out who else they
lost. They lost their center. They lost their tackle.
Center's a good one, right? Yeah. I would take that because he was solid, right? Yeah. I guess the offensive captain on the line, right? But then, like, the guard, they lost the guard.
Nah, Tyron. Tyron and Biotis.
Come on, bro. So Gallup?
I'm not counting.
I mean, I'm still looking for him, right? So when we say these things, like, who they really losing? They got that core here, though, right? And if you had to plug in some pieces, it's easier to plug in them pieces.
I don't think that their roster is significantly worse. The offensive line is concerning, especially since they didn't do much in free agency. It's just a matter of what is the future of this team? What is the future is my question. Because what you're saying to us in your action is that you don't think Dak Prescott is the future. We would never be having this conversation about a quarterback who just came off of a season as a runner-up to MVP and an all-pro season, regular season. We would not be having this conversation about any other quarterback. So you're saying in your inaction that you do not think Dak Prescott is the future. But then you're saying that he is the future. But then we might see in the draft that they do not take a quarterback saying that Dak Prescott is the future.
I don't think they will. Go ahead, James.
Yeah, and my thing is a plan is we're going to trade up and try to get the guy that we really are in love with.
There's no way they'll do that.
That's what I'm saying. So a plan is not, hey, man, we're going to sit down here at 23. Is that where they're picking, 23, 24? And we're going to wait and see if one of these dudes fall into our lap?
I would say like,
that cannot be the
James,
plan.
But, James, to me, the Cowboys are in a really good position. Because they don't need to replace Dak Prescott. But I believe if they have the luxury to do so, do so. They're in a really good position because the needs that they have on their roster are needs you can typically fill outside of that tackle position in the third or fourth round. With all due respect to the running back to my right and the linebacker that I am, you can find really good running backs in the third and fourth round. And you can find a third team receiver in a sixth round, if we're being honest. That's a special teams player that needs to go for 600 yards in a game. You can find him late. So if you get the tackle in the first round, great. If you get the center in the first round, great. But the Cowboys, to me, are in a great position because if there is a quarterback there that you like, and usually quarterbacks do fall. I could see one or two falling, really one falling. If there's a quarterback there that you like, you take him. You replace Dak eventually. If there's not, you draft the tackle. You keep it pushing.
Not if they're trying to compete for a Super Bowl. That's I don't think they are in a good position.
You saying you trade up?
I'm saying, do we think that this team, as it is currently constructed with the additions that we know that they will get in the draft, they will draft a receiver, they will draft a running back, they will draft an offensive lineman, right? Linebacker. We think they're any closer to competing for a Super Bowl than they were last year? Or are they just about the same?
I don't.
So what would they need to do as an organization for any of us to be moved to thinking that they're capable of competing for a championship, or at least that they are trying to compete for a championship?
There's really no right answer. You know why? Because if you pay Dak, right, you know the results.
Correct. That's what I'm saying.
So what I'm saying is you basically paying a lot of money to get the same results. Right. When you get a young quarterback, they may develop. Maybe it could be better than that.
You don't know what the results are going to be.
But you know the results, no question.
That's what I'm saying is, I don't think they're in a great position, because unless somebody falls to them that happens to be great, but this is counting on a lot of other people making choices that are out of your control. Outside of that, which isn't really a strategy, which would be more of a surprise, that's my point, that you are in this sort of limbo space that you will always be in, because Dak is good enough to keep you drafting at 24 every single year, and he's bad enough to keep you drafting at 24 every single year.
The reason, if I'm a Cowboys fan, I have some solace, and I'll say they're in a great position, great in quotes, because at a minimum, you run it back. At a minimum, you fill your left tackle spot in the first round. You fill your center spot in the third round, really probably the second round, because in my mind, the running backs aren't that great this year, not a great running back class. Fill your running back spot in the third or fourth round. Go get your Blake Corum. Then you fill that wide receiver spot either in free agency or in the draft. Running back. That's the team that you had last year. You run it back. Tony Pollard, he was not special last year. Michael Gallup, he was not special last year. Tyron Smith hasn't been special in a couple years. He's great, but he hasn't been special in a couple years, and I believe Tyler Biadasz will be replaced. Running back. You win 12 games again, Joy. You go to the playoffs. You lose in the playoffs. You're fine. But if for some reason you find you a quarterback, like Lamar, like the Ravens drafted Lamar when they had Flacco, like the Chiefs drafted Mahomes when they had Alex, like the Packers. Like the Packers drafted Love when they had Rodgers, like the Chargers drafted Herbert when they had Tyrod, you draft you a quarterback not intending to start him year one. The Eagles drafted Jalen when you had Wentz. You shouldn't draft a quarterback when you needed quarterback. Noah didn't wait till it started raining to build the arc. Start building that joint before the drop hits. And then you good once Dak does move on in a year from now. That would be the best case scenario.
I would do that.
That's the best case scenario.
And that's the thing it's all about. Is that the Cowboys' plan? That's what it's all about. Like, we knew the Chargers' plan. We need a quarterback. Yeah. Tyrod is not our... Like Joy said, you saying one thing, doing another. What's your plan? And your plan can't be like, I'm going to sit and wait and hope that one of these quarterbacks dropped to us, because one of these quarterbacks that do drop to you could be a Zach Wilson.
But let's talk about your team real quick, and then we got to go to break.
And you got to pay people.
But real quick, James, let's talk about your team for a moment, the Packers.
Yes. Surprise us all.
Nah, 3-4 years ago. Jordan Love, like the Packers did trade up to get Love, but they traded up to get Love at the end of the first round. It wasn't like the Packers in that draft said, you know what, we're going to mortgage our future and draft Jordan Love in the top 10. Yeah. They said, you know what, there's a developing quarterback here. Let's trade up to get him at the end of the first. Yeah. That, to some degree, is what I'm suggesting the Cowboys do. If they view Bo Nix as a late first-round pick, maybe you trade back in the first round and you draft Bo Nix, and then you use the excess picks. That's what I'm suggesting the Cowboys do, is make a move on a quarterback, but don't have to play him right away.
Yeah, well,
quarterback they draft, even if they draft him in the top five.
Yeah, they're not paying him right now because Dak is going to be the starter this year. Regardless, I agree that they should draft a quarterback in development, but not in the late rounds, because to your point, that's what they always do. Like, if you're going to take a quarterback, take a quarterback. Take a quarterback that can sit for a year, because that's what he's going to do regardless, and develop. Yep. But that has to be in the higher rounds.
Really good conversation.
CD's not get paid.
And Trey Lance ain't no belief in Trey Lance.
I think we would be hearing some buzz. I think we'd be hearing some tremblings.
The buzz I heard when he was saying Fran, they said he was awful. Before he even played, I said, y'all heard, he's awful. From my sources.
I didn't even have to hear it. I saw it.
No belief.
When we return, the Suns, they look awful, awful. 0-2 deficit right now, 2 games in. But more than the record, family, they look completely discombobulated, just totally out of whack. What's wrong with the Suns? Come back for that Kevin Durant, Devin Booker conversation. Don't forget, check us out every day, Fox Sports Channel, SiriusXM. We cannot wait to talk about the Suns. That's next.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
T-Wolves been in a bag lately, family. They handed the Suns another L. Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal. It meant nothing. They were no match. Now down 0-2, and both losses have been ugly. But Booker said, quote, don't count us out. Game 3, it is on Friday. But if you're a Suns fan, it cannot get here soon enough. Joy, it has been big bad for the Phoenix Suns. Who is to blame for the 0-2 deficit?
Yep, the big bad wolf huffed and he puffed. I got to go with the big three, right?
Yeah, 1, 2, and 3.
1, 2. Book at 20, KD at 18 on 15 shots. Beal at 14 points. They had 52 points on 18 of 45 shooting.
That ain't good enough.
This is why I don't pay attention to regular season wins. When you get to the postseason, it is a different season. They were 3-0 against the Wolves during the regular season were the Suns. They averaged 118 points per game. They won those games by more than 15 points per game. They shot 53% from the field and 48.8% from beyond the arc. They were a different team against the Wolves during the regular season. Well, now it's the postseason. Now we got to put out our best effort night in and night out. And listen, the Timberwolves are not playing with these boys.
At all.
They are playing aggressive. They are playing with effort. They are finishing. They are back and forth. They look faster. They look like they want it more. And they do. Like, they are beating them down. I'm not completely out of hope because they are going home. We'll see how they play, see if they get it together. Grayson Allen being injured again is concerning because they need his production. But I have to say, it's disappointing from these three players who are the three of the best scorers in the league. And that has been the issue. It's one thing if... I don't even know. The way that this team is constructed, you score a bunch of points. That's you just outscore the opponent. You're not getting into a low defensive battle. That's not how the Suns are constructed, and they're not stepping up in the way that they need to. They've got to score more, and that's when your team is built a certain way, you've got to do what your team is built to do. And the Wolves are just taking them out of their element.
It's bad. It's real bad. I agree with Joy, honestly. I think what's going on with the Phoenix Suns is the collective curse of the gifted. We often talk about the curse of the gifted when you're so good at something that you don't bother developing your other skills. The Suns are so good at scoring between KD, between Book, between Beal. We overlook chemistry.
Are they?
We overlook effort. Historically speaking, overlook chemistry. We overlook effort. We overlook team camaraderie. We overlooked all of the other necessary skills that it takes to win that the T-Wolves did not overlook, and now they are putting it on full display. The defense, they locking all them boys down. And we all know that the basketball that travels faster than a man. So we sitting here watching the Suns go one-on-one getting locked up. Meanwhile, the T-Wolves actually playing team basketball. It reminds me of the Spurs back in 2014 when I'm sitting there, I'm like, yo, LeBron, D-Wade, Bosh. But then you watch the Spurs, bum, 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 bum. It's like, God, dog, it's just a collective team game versus some incredibly talented individuals. So that's who I blame 2-5 is the curse of the game.
Yeah, I'm gonna go a different route, right?
Okay.
I'm gonna go with the Timberwolves, right? I'm gonna give them some credit. First of all, they playing defense.
I like it.
Ant-Man called us out early. He said that we look forward to the matchup. If you really watch them, they switching on everything. Like, okay, oh yeah, KD cool. Is it Booker? Yeah. Is it Bill? They switch on everything. And I think that the length of the T-Wolves are making it an issue for them. That's one part, right? And the hustle. They getting our rebound, like 20-something rebounds, right? Less 20 points less in the playoffs in the regular season. Mm-hmm. Like, you see the fight they have. I don't see the fight for the Suns. Mm-hmm. And then another thing is, I'm going to go so that the Timberwolves, the second one is the Suns. The Suns' big three. You talk about scoring, right? That's what we thought. When we heard Bill's coming, I'm like, oh, my God. KD, Booker, and Bill, that's buckets on buckets on buckets.
Buckets.
But when you watch them, there's no offense.
Nothing.
A whole bunch of isolations, right? And then they dan up. Bradley Beal. Ooh. I'm going to call him out.
Please.
Because even though KD didn't shoot the ball well, Booker hasn't shot the ball well, right? But on a team, you might have one good defender. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. We might have two good defenders.
Yep.
You don't got three good defenders. I watch Anthony Towns guard Bradley Beal numerous of times, and he's in foul trouble. And you can't get a bucket?
Not one.
I'm being serious here.
Serious,
that's I used to watch him in Washington give him buckets. Yeah. By the way, my step back jumper.
24-7.
Right? So when you ask me, like, yo, what's the real issue? I need more from you guys on offense. I'm not calling these other dudes. Grayson Allen, yes, he was shooting the ball phenomenal all year, but he got hurt, right? He's out of there. What are you going to do as a big three, right? I mean, y'all called out. Kendrick Moore called them all out. Mm. The big three. Well, I don't see the big three. I see what's a big one. That's Ant-Man and the Wolves. So if you ask me who the biggest issue is, I'm going with the hustle and the attitude of
in the defense of the Timberwolves, and I'm going to lack of offense from the big three, and mostly I'm pointing out Bradley Beal. Bro, where you at?
Yeah.
Where you at?
Shady, you right on it, man.
Hey.
Devin Booker is an all-star. He got his own shoe.
He do got
that. A lot of kids wearing the D-books.
The D-books.
He ain't doing nothing in his own shoe. KD, Hall of Famer, got his own shoe.
A gall.
He ain't show up yesterday. Bradley Beal, I don't even know what Bradley Beal doing, to be honest with you. He missing dunks.
He got his own shoe?
No, he ain't got his own shoe. He missing wide open dunks. He can't take a big off the dribble.
And foul trouble big.
And go get you a bucket. But not only that, watching that game yesterday, between Booker and Bradley Beal, they had 10-plus turnovers. Right? Not good enough. They falling all on the ground. But watching that game yesterday, I'm like, is this the playoffs?
Mm.
Because as I'm watching it, I'm like,
what is that?
These dudes don't want to be out here. We all been in games and been in competition to where you just finally just look at yourself like, man, I ain't even really want to be out here. It's just one of them. That's how it was for the Phoenix Suns yesterday. Them dudes looked like they did not want to be out there. It wasn't no emotion when Minnesota went on a run. It wasn't no emotion when they was missing a bunch of. It was nothing. It wasn't no emotion when the coach called a timeout. It was nothing. They literally looked like they did not want to be out there to play that game of basketball. And you beat this team three times in a row, not in a row, but 3-0 in the regular season. And in the first two playoff games, y'all get beat down like this and look like you don't even want to be there?
Another thing I watched too, though, man. Right, is Minnesota, we talked about this yesterday. We don't see them scoring all these points. Because I'm like, yo, they don't, that's not what they do, right? Any man will get his buckets. That's some shooters going to play good defense, right? Get some turnovers, points on turnovers, et cetera. Mike Conley, pick and roll. They going to do his little thing, but not like a scoring team. When I watched this game yesterday, they couldn't defend the pick and roll. I'm like, how are these dudes so wide open? Right? Like, what are we doing? It's crazy to say this, though, and like, for that much experience, that much talent, when you watch a play, I don't really see it. Pick and rolls? That's simple.
And no disrespect to everybody on the Timberwolves, but it's basically three All-Stars versus Ant. Like, if we, like,
they play
no
hard.
Disrespect to Anthony Towns. Anthony Towns is a good player and all that type of stuff, but Ant is that dude. You have three premier All-Stars on the Suns. Really versus Ant.
James,
and y'all are getting drugged.
He ain't even really dominated last game.
I think that's shame on us, though, James. I can no longer agree with that statement, big dog, because how much longer are we going to get fooled? I'm done buying big threes. I'm selling my big three stock from here on out. Mm-hmm. Like, shout out to what LeBron James was able to do in Miami back in 2011 to 2013, 2014. I'm selling my stock in big threes. I mean, y'all, we've seen it. We're seeing it right now with the Suns. We saw it with KD with the Nets. Saw it with another iteration of KD with the Nets. Like, how long are we going to keep buying into big threes when we're seeing teams destruct big threes before our eyes? Like, we're seeing team basketball, the Nuggets, a team, the Bucks, before that, a team, the Warriors, a team, teams, teams,
yeah,
teams.
Yeah, because that's that, when stars, you had though. A successful big three, it was built on a team.
Correct.
Like, that is the misconception about the Miami, not to brag on the Miami Heat, but that's how that was built.
Yeah.
They all took less money to play together. The roster was constructed beautifully. It wasn't left to whatever it was the year before. They made incredible additions. They had people in the building. They developed young players. So it was a team and the big three. When you're just pooling these players together and you're just forgetting about the rest of the roster, this is what you're left with. And if the big three don't play big three basketball every single night, particularly in the postseason when it matters most, then this is going to be the result because you don't have that team chemistry that was built with the Miami Heat when you had the big three. That's a very rare situation. This is also just really lack of effort. Like, the Timberwolves are, first of all, not a bad team. They are a young team, and they have a lot of good players. We're looking at it seem like this roster isn't nothing. We're paying attention to KD, which is obviously a name that bears respect, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal as shooters. KD is the most complete player out of those three as well. You're looking at a top-heavy team that is built to win a certain way. When things start to fall apart, what do you do? The Timberwolves had 31 points off of turnovers. The Suns had 2. Mm. That is effort. That is energy. Mm. That is team basketball. Mm. So what they're really lacking is the complexity of the roster.
Correct.
But you knew that. This was not news. This was the conversation the moment that this was constructed. So what's being asked is the best players need to perform
They look crazy.
Not even their best. Just their normal baseline good. And that's what they did during the regular season against this team.
I hear y'all, though, but, like, if you ask me, I'm taking a big three.
Right? No
question. Because now we're in the playoffs. Like I get the team thing, right? Because you do need the team aspect of the game. But the bench players now ain't playing that many minutes. True. It's the playoffs, right? We out there for 40 minutes, right? Get some break when you get some break. Yeah. But not right now. When I'm watching Bradley Beal, I'm like, yo, you got the big on you?
Yeah.
And basketball now is transitioning now, right? Back then with the Jordans and all the Kobe's, it's do what you want to do. Yeah. As bad as they guard me, it don't matter, right? I'm going to give you buckets. Now it's like, we're going to get the weakest defender. Pick and roll, okay, now I got the big on me. Yeah. Steph Curry, right? James Harden, all that. That's what you want. You got Anthony Towns on you, and you can't give you buckets. So if you ask me what you want, I want the big three.
No question.
Looking at the Timberwolves, no disrespect to them.
No doubt.
They play good team ball, like Joy talked about. They play hard, tough defense. Yeah. But other than that, like, if you need some buckets, I mean, we're getting buckets from turnovers.
Yeah.
They score for turnovers. Mm-hmm. I need my dude, look, we need a bucket. I don't need no turnovers. I need you to get a bucket.
And not only that, every time we talk about even championship basketball teams, even if they may lose, like last year the Miami Heat, are they a team? Are they a team, Joy? They are a really good team. They are coached really well. They were in the finals last year, and all we can say was, man, if Jimmy Butler had one more star.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So that is true. Right.
You need stars to win.
You do.
Your stars just got to deliver. That was crazy.
But, James,
they look crazy.
The problem is, like, you do need stars to win, but I'm with Joy on this one in the sense of, like, I'm taking team over talent. We've seen it too much.
But we just were sitting up here.
Can you get both, though, Joe?
I'm taking a really talented team. Like, the reason why the Nuggets are so dominant is because they have extreme talent at the top.
Yes, they do.
And they have really good players to the rest of the roster. And they were intentional about how they put that roster together.
Right. But really quick, Acho.
Go ahead.
Before the playoffs started, we said, which team in the West can give the Nuggets?
Said the Suns.
We said this.
We did.
What are you? That's crazy.
The series isn't over.
I know, but
it's possible.
It looked over yesterday.
Possible.
That's true.
It looked over both nights. It has not looked good since the moment that it started. There's more basketball to play.
No doubt.
Could still turn this around. Again, I don't like to pay too much attention to what happens during the regular season, but it's not like they've never beaten this team before. It's not like we're talking about the Lakers and Nuggets. Mm. No shade. But this is a different situation. Now, look, it could all slip away and the Timberwolves are going to, you know, sweep or gentlemen sweep. I don't see that happening. Because of the talent that the Suns have. But they have to figure it out.
But you can't. Maybe it's just I love teams. I don't know why. In life in general. I like team sports. I like team things. I like team camaraderie.
You like underdogs?
Not like underdogs. I like chemistry. Mm-hmm. I think chemistry matters. And when I think about the Suns, Joy, I don't know if they can build chemistry quick enough to win this series. Because what they lack right now is they lack chemistry. I don't think they lack talent. I think they lack chemistry. I think they lack the nuances of a roster. Like, who is going to hustle for the loose balls? Who is going to be the heart and soul of the team? It can't be your stars.
Yeah.
Stars don't do that.
But you need other people to do that. That was always going to be the question with the Suns, because I agree with you. Last year when I was like, no, guys, the Heat could win. It's not because they had the most talented roster. We went back and forth about this. It's because they were the better team. And at the end of the day, this is a team game.
Correct.
I'm with Shady. You're not going all the way down the bench for contributors when you get to the postseason. But they have to do not even the bench. have to do their top three, have to produce. That is just the way that they have been set up from day one, and they're not doing that, and the results of it are terrifying to watch.
I also think, one of your top three has to be a grinder, especially in this day and age. One of the top three, whether it was the Bucks, whether it is Jokic, Murray, and last year, if we're being honest, it was Gordon in the playoffs, which was to some degree a surprise. Whether it was Kawhi in 2019 with the Raptors, whether one of your top three, AD and LeBron when they won in 2020, one of your top three got to be a grinder. One of them has to just be like that just, and right now you're seeing it with the T-Wolves. I don't know that anybody on Phoenix, because all of them have been top-notch scorers. I don't know, James Jones, if any of them are just like a...
I hear what you're saying, but a lot of the issues is scoring. what we're talking about right now is like, okay, team thing, cool, I'm with that, right? If personally me, I'm going to take more talent than the team, even the Nuggets, right? We love to talk about them, how much team they are. They got a lot of talent,
mm-hmm.
right? They got a lot of talent.
But don't you think their team accentuates the talent? Like, I don't. Aaron Gordon individually, before he was in Denver, he wasn't like anything. He was a great slam dunk champion. Casey.
He was a dog in Orlando.
How talented do you think he is, though? Aaron Gordon.
Really talented.
He's so talented that, yo, Jokic couldn't guard Anthony Davis. Cool. Mike Malone made the timeout adjustment. Aaron Gordon started guarding Anthony Davis. And what happened? Couldn't score. So when you talk about talent.
I guess what I'm talking about.
A 6'9", right?
Athlete,
forward, right?
Athlete.
Can run the point, can run the floor, right? Backdoor cut, everything. This stuff matters. So when you look at the
But who does
Porter Jr. Is anybody, pretty talented.
Only 6'7".
But let's not rewrite talent.
Okay.
Because his any, and again, I could be totally off here. Right, basketball heads, apologize in advance. Has any Denver player in the last 3 years made an all-star appearance outside of Jokic? Made an all-star appearance.
None.
So, like,
Murray is an all-star
If you put Murray on the Timberwolves and he's a starter, you think he's going to make an all-star appearance?
I would assume so.
So you got to look at this, the layers of things. Like on different teams, I could tell you players that would have been bigger players on other teams. Okay. But let's just stick to what we're talking about, the Suns.
Yes, sir.
The issue with the Suns, they turn the ball over. The hustle's not there.
Definitely.
But the big part is the offense.
They ain't scoring the ball.
And then when you added Kevin Durant, then you added Bradley Beal, we're already having Booker.
Yeah.
Offense should never be the question. Do you agree?
No doubt.
So when I'm asking you, I hear what you're saying about the team and all that, but the issue they're having is scoring, and you have three of the top scorers of the league. That's my issue. And I'm trying to figure out what that is. Why is that?
Wouldn't you say, just even as a hoop fan and a hooper yourself, wouldn't you say to me, it's a large part a lack of ball movement? I watched an offensive possession. I saw Beal go one-on-one, can get a bucket.
Yeah.
Then the T-Wolves get the ball. I saw pass, layup.
Why is that? Hold on. Why is that? If you go to all the top scores, right, we can sit here and do a list, right? Majority of them is isolation scores. Mm-hmm. That's what the game has changed to. Pick and roll, isolation scoring.
But what about the majority of top offenses, not top scorers? Because don't you think like that to me is where
the difference is. When you do that when you need scoring.
But
you know what I'm saying? If you dudes can't go out there and just get a crazy – like I think as a coach, right? Think about it. If I'm a really good coach and I'm drawing all these different plays up to get a bucket, right? Hopefully it works. Or
– just got a guy.
If everything fails, I know I can call on him.
Yep.
I call him, and I got to call him my third dude and get a bucket.
That's a good point.
Come on.
And not only that, we're talking about a team like they ain't beat the Timberwolves. They swept these boys in the regular season.
Mm.
They ain't had no chemistry in the regular season. Them boys was getting buckets. Where's the offense? It was probably three series in a row to where I seen Nurkic doing one-on-one down there. KD, go get the ball.
Yeah.
But go, like, they just don't know what they are doing out there, and it's crazy. They beat this team in the regular season. The final game of the regular season, by double digits, when the number one seed was on the line for the Timberwolves, because they could not guard booking them. Now, I don't know what the Suns
are. Can you announce this, though, real quick? We're in L.A., we're not joking. It's a Timberwolves fan with a jacket on here. I can't believe it. It's like they haven't been here before. I'm so excited. No.
Shout out to Offscreen Erica. All right, family.
Easy.
When we return, the Giants, they got to take a quarterback. At least that's word on the street. Daniel Jones, he's a QB right now, but literally 24 hours away from the draft. Should the Giants draft a QB? That is the most important question on the East Coast. That's next on Speak.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Family, the draft, it is literally one day away, and here is what one of the biggest franchises in sports should do. The New York Giants, they have to take a quarterback. Daniel Jones, he had a good year, but his time is gone. So the question is, Giants fans, who should you take? I will make my plea for Michael Penix from Washington. Now, think about this for a moment. Michael Penix is the most accurate quarterback in the draft, especially from the pocket. But more importantly, the dude ran a 4.46 40. He doesn't necessarily play with that speed, but knowing he has that speed matters. Why? Because head coach Brian Daboll, he loves a quarterback that can run. Think about what he did with Josh Allen. Career high rushing yards, 763 in 2021 when Allen was his quarterback. Think about what he did with Daniel Jones.
career high rushing yards in 2022, 708 with DJ as his quarterback. Josh Allen nor Daniel Jones have 4.46 speed, which Penix has. But what I love most, and I got to take y'all back for this one, Brian Daboll was Tua Tagovailoa's quarterback coach and offensive coordinator in Alabama. And what did Daboll say about Tua? See, Tua can hit the keyhole. What he means by that is most quarterbacks from a distance, they can hit a door. Other quarterbacks, they can hit the doorknob. But the really special accurate throwers like Tua, like Michael Penix Jr., they can hit a keyhole from a distance. So my ideology, if you are the Giants, a Giants fan, pray that your team takes Michael Penix Jr. as the future quarterback in the Big Apple. Heading to the desk, James Jones, I know you know a lot about quarterback play.
You play with ball,
Brett Favre.
Uh-huh.
Play with Aaron Rodgers.
Sure.
Giants got Daniel Jones.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not played great thus far.
Oh, no.
So do you think that the Giants should use their first round pick on a quarterback?
Yesterday. this has to happen. It's one or two things going to happen here, right? Because I just heard my dog Shady say he loves him some Daboll. If Daboll sticks with Daniel Jones, he's going to be an offensive coordinator somewhere again. He's going to end up being fired because you don't have good quarterback play. That's just what that showed. Even when they made the playoffs with what, 9-10 wins or something like that? 9 wins? You know what I mean? So that was your best season under Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones has shown us that he is not the answer to get you to the playoffs consistently, and dang sure get you to the Super Bowl because he's not even getting you into the show consistently. You need to draft a quarterback, put your offense around him, put some weapons around him, and let the young fella develop and go out there and try to win you some ball games. Daniel Jones is not the answer for any organization to succeed, especially where the Giants are at right now on that offensive side of the ball. Losing Saquon Barkley, not a lot of big-time receivers out there. Get you a young quarterback to come in there and develop with some of these young fellas that you're going to have on that offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, don't overthink it. You got everything that you could get out of Daniel Jones. Be grateful. Sometimes you just got to be grateful. Thank you for this gift. I'm not going to overuse it because if I do, it's going to fall apart and that's going to be my fault. They're in a reset. This is the perfect time to take a quarterback.
Yeah.
By the way, didn't you bring Daboll there to develop quarterbacks? Isn't that what he does?
That is what he does.
Why don't we give him a quarterback to develop? One that we didn't already think was bad, who he got the most that he could possibly get out of. I mean, you've got your return for having Daboll with Daniel Jones. I don't see a scenario where they don't take a quarterback. It would be silly for them not to. And that's no disrespect to Daniel Jones. He's going to have a nice career as a backup quarterback somewhere. And what? Oh, I mean, listen, good on Daniel Jones. What are you talking about?
It's accurate. It's
Daniel Jones, Daniel Jones got a bag. Like, he's set. He's good. Like, for sure.
No, I mean, you're saying it's true. It's just, I like when people say no disrespect.
I don't think that he thinks
first of all, a backup quarterback is a great job.
Not if you're number six overall pick. You know what I'm saying?
No.
He didn't pick himself at number six, okay? They did that too. And then, believe me, it was questioned when they made that choice. So, listen, they got everything they could get out of him. It doesn't matter. Forget Daniel Jones. Let's talk about the draft. Yeah. They need a quarterback. They should take a quarterback. Daboll should get the quarterback that he wants and develop him.
Another question.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of people that want quarterbacks, and they're picking six. So maybe you need to make some moves. Maybe you see what happens at six. But the point is, he is there to develop quarterbacks. That is what Daboll does. Get him a quarterback to develop. You are in a reset as an organization. It's not like people have expectations of them this year. Zero. This is a perfect scenario to take a rookie quarterback.
I don't think he would feel like disrespected about that, what she said.
Or Daniel Jones?
Yeah, like.
You're going to have a great career as a backup?
I mean.
That's a great life.
Is he having a great career as a starter? You know what I'm saying?
See, no starter wants to be told.
This is the problem with us people, bro.
I mean, not me people.
Yeah. Sometimes, not us, but you know people. Sometimes you got to, like, know who you are. Know who you are. And sometimes it's a good thing.
Well.
You know what I mean? You take a loss. Get a shot, start preaching.
Yeah, right.
You might take a loss, but you know you're going to win eventually. You might take a loss, and you know it's another loss. You're going to keep losing. I think right now, like, and we talk about team all the time, right? One thing is always trying to help your team out, right? I want to help my team. I don't want to let my teammates down. When you so bad, be a real teammate and say, listen, coach, I need to take a step back.
Yep.
Right? Because Daboll is a phenomenal coach. And you could say all these different things, right, to your team, but you keep sitting out there, Daniel Jones is a starter.
What sign are you really sending us,
yeah,
though?
Correct.
Coach, we can't win with him.
Ooh.
And guess what? You know it.
Yep.
You let our best player go to our biggest competitor, the Eagles, which we are happy. We're getting Saquon Barkley. But as a teammate, you're not happy to see that. Mm-hmm. You know what? I went to the fight last weekend. Everybody knows that. And I seen Dexter Lawrence.
Yeah. It's
big brother.
Big
now, guy. It's weird that I see him in the Louis Vuitton area. I mean, like, bro, they got your size? Anyway.
They going to make it size.
As we talking about sports, I'm like, yo, man, Dayball, how you like Dayball? I love Dayball. I said, I had my Buffalo. We talking. It's in the third. And I say, you know, how you feeling next season? You know, hopefully get some good players in the draft. And I said to myself, like, wow, I never thought about the draft. I'm saying how you feel about next season as far as, like, how the team is, this and third. You talking about the draft. That lets me know.
You know you got to.
You care who you getting, though. Yeah. You know you need a quarterback. So when you ask these questions about this guy out here, number eight, Daniel Jones, the New York Giants is a big franchise, bro. They're a big franchise. Football's better when the Cowboys are good, Eagles, and the Giants. If you continue to have this quarterback at the lead of your team, that can't win, bro.
Let's talk about the bigger problem, though,
Ben. Can't win.
Because, Joy, you said Daboll got the quarterback he wants. But the dilemma, if you're the Giants, is you have so many vacancies that you need to fill offensively. I don't believe the Giants have the luxury of trading up. They're sitting at six right now, but we know that Caleb Williams will likely go number one. Jaden Daniels or Drake May, they will go two and three, respectively. We believe that the Vikings and or the Raiders will trade up to that fourth and that fifth pick because the Cardinals can't afford to move back. The Chargers can't afford to move back. So another quarterback will go off the board. I think it could potentially be J.J. McCarthy, though I don't co-sign that decision, which means by the time the Giants pick at six, they're likely taking the fifth best quarterback.
Mm.
I don't even think it's wise, knowing all the needs you have, I'm not taking the sixth best quarterback over the best wide receiver. Or the second best wide receiver. I believe, and we'll talk about it later, James Docking directly to you, Marvin Harrison and Malik Nabers are two surefire locks is how they will contribute. If I'm the Giants with as many vacancies as I have, I think I'd rather trade back, acquire more picks, see if I can get a receiver and the fifth or sixth best quarterback or the sixth best quarterback as opposed to using that number six pick. You draft a quarterback, who we throwing to?
You want to know what's crazy? We all sat up here at this desk, and you didn't listen to not one of us. We said go get a quarterback. Listen to what we telling you. Go get a quarterback. That is what the Giants need. You got, what, Barnes from Carolina to go with Thibodeau.
Pass rush. Yeah, defense is fine.
Defense is set.
Yeah,
go get you a quarterback knowing that you're going to have a solid defense.
Yep.
You can find some James Joneses and some Shadys in the second and the third rounds.
Oh,
that's what you were second round, right?
Oh.
You can't just find me anywhere.
You want second round?
You can't find this Mr. Decker anywhere. Hold up. Time out. Is this live? Yo, do that
where
again.
Where were you drafted,
no,
my
do that
man.
Again.
Fine, no shit.
Go ahead. Do it again.
First off, okay, well, let me start it over.
Start all the way over.
It don't matter where you drafted.
Mm-hmm.
You can be in the second round and be an all-pro player. Shady. You can be a third-round player, Hall of Famer, lead the league in touchdowns. Those dudes are there, right? Go get you a quarterback right now knowing you have a solid defense. And just because you're going the fifth quarterback taken don't mean you the fifth best.
True.
Yes.
You just said Patty was 11. Lamar was 20, whatever. Josh was 10, whatever.
Yep.
Like, it's quarterbacks that went in front of them dudes, and I guarantee that they probably not better than them dudes right now.
Right,
so that don't necessarily mean that just means you came to us and we got a really good player.
What if they just moved a couple spaces up, though?
Like to 4 or 5?
Yeah.
They're already 6, yeah.
But think about how that would suck, Joy. Because to move up to 4 or 5, you're probably going to have to give up your first and your second. Or your first and your third. Probably your first and your second.
Okay,
you know, the Vikings coming.
About,
it has to
that's
be
that's
somebody
what I'm saying.
But
like, somebody
really
is going to, we are anticipating that this is not going to stay how it looks right now at 4 and 5.
Yeah, of course not.
Likely
course
it's not going to. One of those two teams is going to move out of that spot and move back. Somebody's going to go up and get a quarterback.
Happens every year?
Yes. So why not?
Because the Vikings likely will give up more than the Giants will give up. You feel me? So if you're the Giants, to move from 6 to 4, which I do think there's some wisdom in that, because that's the difference between the fourth best quarterback and the fifth best quarterback. To move from 6 to 4, you're going to have to give up even more. Your roster, James, is so bad.
Yeah.
Joy, it's so bad that I'm like, to James's point, Joy, to your point, we talk about Pat. We talk about these different characters. But their teams were good.
Yeah, but the Giants, and I hear you, and I wouldn't like to give up anything. I'd like to just stay at six and draft a quarterback. And they will be able to do that. Yeah. To James's point, that doesn't mean that they got the fifth worst quarterback. Like, that's not how it actually ends up playing out really any of the time. Mm-hmm. There's busts in every single draft. We're going to see that starting this weekend. I don't have a problem with it. All I know is the first pick is a quarterback. That's what I know. Whether you're picking at six, whether you're moving up.
And not from Duke.
Not from Duke.
God dang it.
But now what about North Carolina?
And not from Duke.
What about North Carolina?
Going to freaking NBA something.
And to be honest with you, let's take the number one off because we know Caleb gone.
Yep.
I truly feel like watching tape on these boys, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, Penix. I'm not even putting J.J. McCarthy in there.
No, I won't.
I won't.
I refuse.
They are in the same boat. So whoever goes first after all that, I feel like we don't really know what they're getting. And to be honest with you, just like you said, I think Penix has the most upside out of all of them because he's the best pocket passer out of all of them.
But he also, to me, love Penix. He has the most downside. He's the oldest, and he's the most injury prone. Penix is, I mean, he got a shoulder, he got an ACL. So at least with the likes of a Dre, at least you don't have as many injuries. As the player on here who was the most injury prone, y'all weren't injury prone. Like that's the risk you run. So I'm
But let him get hurt in the league. Before
let me ask you this though, Jay, real quick.
Stuff,
would you rather?
Yeah,
would you? Would you rather a surefire wide receiver who you know is gonna give you 1,000 consistently?
Who's throwing to him? How's he getting 1,000?
So I'm thinking about it like this: like Larry Fitzgerald never had great quarterback play. You knew you had. Every year, Fitz was gonna be Fitz.
Yeah, let's not compare
Fitz
nobody.
Best years when he had Carson.
Let's not compare nobody.
I'm not comparing them, James. What I am saying is, I'm giving you an example, an analogy.
Yeah.
Okay. What I'm saying is, would you rather have a consistent wide receiver? Like, would you rather have a first round grade wide receiver, or would you rather have a second round grade quarterback at the sixth overall?
Second round quarterback at the.
But why are you saying second round grade? They picking six. They're gonna have a first round grade quarterback that they're getting.
Because the difference is, if you're picking six, but four quarterbacks go ahead of you, you're getting the.
Wait. But it's a matter of need, though. Like I understand what you're saying.
And five of them went in front of the bar.
But they need that too.
But what position is you need more?
Look, I just
don't think about it. What did I say? What did I say to start this block? Don't. Overthink it. I get it. There are some really fantastic prospects in this year's draft. Some surefire ones, if you want to say that. I don't like saying that about the draft because we don't know. They're going to play a different sport against all professional players. I hear you, though. You would want a closer to a sure thing at that pick. Unfortunately, you don't have a quarterback. So if it's like any other position, I'm with you. Take the best player on the board. But if you need a quarterback and you're picking at six, even if there are four quarterbacks going ahead of you, you've got to take a quarterback.
Are we starting to be hyperbolic here for a moment? I don't know how y'all talk me further this way, but are we starting to be hyperbolic in the sense of like, Daniel Jones isn't great, obviously, but he's not incompetent. He's not Zach Wilson at the quarterback position, as incompetent as it pertains to what we see competency on the football field.
Yeah.
So it's like, we sit here talking like the Giants got me at quarterback. That's just not the case. They do have a quarterback who threw for 15 touchdowns, rushed for 7, and had 5 interceptions.
Ouch.
But it's all like, y'all are saying it much so like, they're not rolling Zach Wilson out there, y'all. They got Drew Lock as a backup.
This is all I'm saying, Acho. There's nobody in the National Football League that wants to run the type of offense you have to run with these type quarterbacks. You have to play the game a certain type way with Daniel Jones. He is not a thrower of the football. If you bring in another receiver to play with Daniel Jones, you are not going to get the best out of him.
True.
The DeAndre Hopkins and the Larry Fitzgerald and the Calvin Johnson, even though he balled with Matthew Stafford, a great thrower of the football, there's not a lot of those. Larry played with 30 different quarterbacks, made his quarterback. There's not a lot of those
I guess you need a guy
that can spin.
What gets you closer to winning?
A great quarterback.
Okay, so I'm willing to risk that I'm getting a great quarterback.
That boy said 15 touchdowns.
Like 2 touchdowns in 6 games. He's talking about, he's not that bad.
But I'm saying, like,
2 touchdowns in 6 games.
We're talking about him like he's Zach Wilson.
No, he's not.
He's a little bit better.
Like, would you rather?
He's not Zach.
To me, I love, and maybe I just love Malik Nabers and Harrison too much. But like, I'd rather roll
but
out
that
there.
Is a dependent position.
They're gonna be
position.
So mad. They're gonna be pissed off at the draft.
That's a dependent position. I hear you on a player like Larry Fitzgerald, but the reason we don't like putting Larry Fitzgerald in with everybody else is because Larry's kind of one of one. Mm-hmm. All right. It's very hard to ball year in and year out when you have a different quarterback every single year. And certainly a rookie wide receiver you cannot depend on to get you closer to winning than you would a quarterback that you could potentially develop. So I trust Brian Daboll's ability to develop a quarterback, even if it isn't necessarily the top prospect. I also agree with James. After Caleb Williams, we have questions about all these guys. Look, we had questions about C.J. Stroud. Correct. He stepped up, and now he has an incredible career ahead of him.
Now, real quick, though, this is like, this is pissing me off. I'm trying to be as patient as possible. Imagine at, what are they, 19 now, 18, 20? What are they, like 21? The college guys.
Yeah.
These QBs, right? Now they 22,
I'm talking about the wide receivers you talked about.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah, 21.
And they get their name called. New York Giants select whoever you want to pick at this time, right?
The league neighbors.
You're not mad they're going to be in there on that stage. You know, everybody's going to be happy. Yo, what's up, Roger? They're going to be so mad. They know who the quarterback is.
Let me give you all the opposite, and I know we got to go to break.
I have no Dane Jones.
Think about the Carolina Panthers last year. I think they had a brilliant offensive mind and head coach. I like Frank Wright a lot. He coordinated the Eagles to their Super Bowl, first one in ever, I believe, Shady.
You know that.
You have Bryce Young, very talented. But all you had was Miles Sanders, Adam Thielen, LaVisca Chenault, if I'm not mistaken. You had question marks. What did Bryce Young do? He struggled immensely. Not because he's not talented, but because there wasn't talent around him.
That O-line.
So, yes, the O-line wasn't great at all, but he struggled immensely. Yeah. Bryce struggled immensely. I'm sitting here thinking, like, if you get the receiver who you're going to need to, because even once you get the quarterback, eventually we're going to say, but he ain't got nobody to throw to. But, so if you get the receiver, why not get the crazy special receiver? And, like, DJ, with a healthy Daniel Jones, won a playoff game.
Why cheat the system? We talked about this earlier with the Cowboys, right? Mm-hmm. They keep trying to cheat the system. They don't do that. They take the best player. They take the star, right? And what do they do every single year? They have great regular seasons, and then they come up short.
How about the – let's flip it.
Flip it.
How about the worst team in the division with the number two overall pick get a quarterback, and he make every single person around him better? We talk about – Collins, we talk about rookie Tank Dell. He made every single person around him better and took his team to the playoffs, however we want to slice it and dice it. A receiver's not going to do that. If the Texans would have took a big-time receiver at two, they would probably still be in last.
Very true. Yeah. Very true. Honestly, the draft is incredibly fascinating, as that conversation was as well.
We need a shady cam.
Oh, you should have seen his face when you said that 15 touchdowns.
Hey, let's go to Mavericks next. Did the Mavs make a statement yesterday in their win over the Clippers? It was a wild game. Luka Doncic, he put the team on his back on both sides of the ball. Did the Mavs make a statement? That's next on Speed.
Love bath of a game tonight between the Mavs and the Clippers. Here's Luka again on the dance floor against Harden. One block three. Bullseye! Bullseye! Let us know! Luka Doncic is going to let it know!
Oh, that energy.
That is big Luka energy right there. You can put this one in the books. It is a 1-1 series.
One of the most exciting playoff games thus far, Clippers-Mavs. Mavs came to L.A. and got themselves a dub in Game 2 versus the Clippers. But, Shady, it wasn't just about the Mavericks. It was about Luka. It was about Kyrie. But then it was about the collective team. Did the Mavs, taking Game 2 from the Clippers, did they make a statement to you?
Yes, they did. Mm. What's the rule in the playoffs?
Still won.
Playoffs don't start until the away team wins. And that's what they did. I was surprised, though, of the flow of the game. You know, Kawhi Leonard came back and I will say that the Clippers have been playing well, right? And I knew that he would have a rough start just because of you've been injured, you're coming back, right, in the flow of things. I think next game he'll be a lot better. But it was more the Mavs to me, though, right? And we don't want to talk about offense, but on defense.
They've been playing that.
I watched Luka playing solid defense. I was surprised to see it. You see that I was trying to try him, picking on him. Mm-hmm. He was answering the bell. Another thing I want to talk about, Luka, right? Luka and Kyrie together, man. I didn't know how it would really work out in the playoffs, right, when they need to win. They look good together, though. When Luka can't find his own shot, right, Kyrie's there to hold him down. Mm. And vice versa. And then the best part is when they got the game is close, when they went to close out the game, Luka showed up. Did he not show up?
Yes, sir.
And then it looked like they was trying to target Harden a lot, right? A lot of little different picks to get the matchup on James Harden. So I just like the game plan. I like the game plan when I see from the Mavericks. They look good. They look quick. They look determined. In the past, I felt like with the Mavs, I didn't see a lot of dog in them. I'm just being honest, right? I didn't see a lot of dog in them. Now I'm seeing it.
Ooh, yeah.
I'm seeing it. From PJ to Kyrie,
right? Even to Luka, like from the head to the bottom, this dude's is playing. Yeah. I love what I'm saying. And they're scary. They are scary, though.
To me, 2-5, it wasn't just the Mavs that made a statement. It was Luka that made a statement. And I want to shout out Luka defensively because for years we maligned Luka's defense. But if you think about what Luka did when teams tried to go at Luka, look at what Kawhi, PG, and Harden shot when they were going up against Luka versus all others. Think about the last several NBA champions. Your best players cannot be liabilities on defense. The Nuggets, the Bucks, the Warriors, the Lakers, the Raptors, the Warriors again, the Cavs with LeBron James there, the Spurs, the Miami Heat, your best players, your top two players, one of them got to do something on defense. They can't both be liabilities. What Luka has been able to do, one, transforming his body first and foremost so he doesn't get hurt and the wear and tear doesn't affect him. But then also, if y'all was watching, he was strapping them guys up with all due respect. He was legitimately strapping them up. You used to go at Luka knowing that he couldn't do nothing about it. But now he's utilizing a 6'9 frame, his athleticism. If Luka can play defense like that, the Mavs can go far. The Mavs did make a statement. Luka made a statement to me, Jordan Taylor.
Young player developing.
Mm-hmm.
It happens. You get better. You add things to your game every single year, and Luka did that. I won't go so far as to say they made a statement. I think this series was going to go 7. I think this is the best series in the first round. I was the most excited to watch this. So I love that they did steal a game at a way. That is, Shady is right about the series has started. But the Clippers had an incredible game in game one. And the Mavs came out and took game two, stole game two. I think this is going to be a long series. 4-5 is delivering for us. Kawhi coming back obviously is an adjustment, but I love how competitive this series is. I anticipate it will continue to go that way, and I'm expecting to see 7 games.
Yeah, the Mavs been playing the best basketball of any basketball team coming into the playoffs, so I expect this. And this is the 4-5 matchup. I circled a big old 7 because I believe this is going 7. You got a really good Clippers team against a Mavs team that's playing really, really well, and they stars, unlike we just talked about the Suns, they stars when the game is on the line and the ball's in their hands. You know what? It's not, Acho. It ain't a lot of screens. Mm-hmm. It ain't a point guard that the Suns need a point guard. It's no, give me the ball and I'm going to get us a bucket or I'm going to make the right play. This series is going 7. It's going to be a really fun series. So they did not make a statement. They did exactly what they were supposed to do. Get a game, go back to Dallas and see if you can win there.
I love about Luka is that every moment he meets the intensity, right? Like he didn't really shoot the ball at fairly great. You know what I'm saying? Normally saying he made 4 threes. He shot like 13 of them, right? Mm-hmm. He kept going. And then the game got late and the pressure got to him. He shot another 3. What? Boom, right there, hard in the face. Boom, give me that. The thing I love about the Mavs, where I don't think it's going to go 7, is because if you look at the Clippers, offensively, we talked about the Suns, how they got guys that can score, right? Yeah. Harden get a bucket, PG can get a bucket, and then Kawhi can get a bucket, right? And then Russ is on the bench. He gets you some buckets. But if you go off the weakest defender, who's Luka, and he's strapping up.
That
ooh,
part.
What do you
that
do?
Part. That part.
I don't see it. I don't see it going 7.
That is, James, to me, the difference. I know you referenced how they're getting buckets. The Suns aren't. That, to me, is a difference. Like, if Luka playing defense like that, whereas, to me, when I look at the Suns, Beal and Book ain't playing defense like that. KD has the ability to. But, like, when I watched the Mavs yesterday, the Mavs for years have been known as an offensive team. For years. Back when Porzingis and them was there, years. Brunson and them was there. But now, like, oh, they can play defense, too?
No, so you think this goes 6?
Yeah, I think 6. I'm a 2-5 on this one. It ain't going. It shouldn't go. Because Kawhi's hurt, also. Yeah. I felt bad watching Kawhi yesterday. Kawhi's not healthy. That Kawhi you saw yesterday, that's not good.
Well, since the trade deadline, I do agree with you guys. They have been either the best defensive team in basketball or one of the best defensive teams in basketball. But we can't think that he just finna keep strapping PG and Kawhi up, can we?
I'm not even saying strapping. He playing good defense.
He make it hard,
no
on
doubt.
Him.
You know what I'm saying? Listen, when the Warriors won the championship in 22, right?
Yeah.
The game plan to me was, yo, wherever Luka is, we going to get him. And I watched Steph pick and roll till they got him.
Exactly.
He was cooking him. Blah, blah, blah. Boom. Yeah. When I watched him now, like, okay, they're doing the same thing, but
he ain't a liability.
Right? Yep. So what happens then?
So do you think that game one was just a fluke?
Yeah, I didn't even count game one because Luka shot so bad. The Mavericks shot so bad.
Yeah,
like, to me, game one, Joy, wasn't as much about the Clippers as the
You think the Mavs didn't play.
He was 4-13 yesterday from 3.
But the difference for me, James, was this. When I watched game one, game one, I said, can the Clippers duplicate this? And I said, no. That's why I wasn't even worried about it. I was like, the Clippers can't do to the Mavs what they did again. The game one was over in, like, the first half. I turned that joint on. I was like, already?
But do you – let me ask this question real quick, though, right? Man, how do y'all feel about, like, everybody's always talking about being efficient, right? That's the thing. In the playoffs, do y'all care about being efficient? Or when a game's on the line –
when you got to get
when a game's on the line, deliver.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, but you would hope that you have an opportunity to have the game on the line because you weren't that inefficient.
Because like, when I watched the playoffs, right, like I watched the Luka, right? He wasn't great all game, but, yo, when they needed him, he showed up.
No doubt.
Jamal Murray. Yo, whole game, it was bad. When they needed him best, he delivered. Yeah.
Well said.
So I'm all like,
I'm not saying you shouldn't keep shooting. Shoot or shoot.
I'm shooting.
But I'm saying you got to make sure that the rest of the team puts you in an opportunity in a moment to be able to take that shot, and it mattered.
Well, I noticed on this desk,
no, Shady.
Y'all three going to shoot. I know that. They going to shoot. Oh, yeah. I'm open. Let me stop.
I'm shooting.
Shady can take some more carries.
When we...
my girl said it. You know what I mean?
When we return, of the draft prospects that are going to change their franchises on tomorrow, who do I think are the all-pros? Acho's all-pros. Who's going to thrive instantaneously? I'll give my thoughts next on Speed.
All-pro Acho, man. It's cold in here, dog.
Family, the draft is tomorrow, and I have to take a moment to remind you all of one of the best draft classes in the last 20 years, because I believe that tomorrow's draft class is that good. Think about the 2011 draft class. You'll remember some of these names: Cam Newton, Von Miller, A.J. Green, Patrick Peterson, Julio Jones, Tyron Smith, J.J. Watt, Cam Hayward, Richard Sherman, Jason Kelce. That 2011 draft class was special, but set your reminders to watch tomorrow's draft, because I'm going to give you five names that we will also be talking about 15 years from now. A variety of positions, family, but throw them behind me on the big board. These five are my five locks, my five all-pro perennial caliber players. Number one, Caleb Williams. I believe that Caleb Williams is truly a generational talent. He is one of one. Y'all know about Caleb Williams. He was supposed to win back-to-back Heismans, we were projecting. First time since the mid-1970s. He went to SC, he won a Heisman. At Oklahoma, he dominated. Also, though, tight end Brock Bowers. If you do not know his name, let me familiarize you with him. 13 touchdowns his first year at Georgia. Then he gave you 7 touchdowns and 942 receiving yards his second year at Georgia. He is an absolute beast. And when you think about the fact that Kelce and Kittle are getting older, Brock Bowers will be the tight end in the NFL of the future. Then an offensive tackle, Joe Alt. He'll be the first tackle to go off the board. His dad, first-round pick, John, number 21 overall, back for the Kansas City Chiefs, played 12 years in the National Football League. This dude is an absolute beast, and when you think about the tackle position, it's a premier and a premium position. Joe Alt of Notre Dame is a name that you better remember. Don't be surprised and say, who? When you hear his name drafted, he's a beast. On top of that, now it's the receivers. James Jones, I'm telling you, I don't know why you weren't listening to me when I was saying the Giants need to take a receiver. Because these two, Neighbors and Harrison, stud. Y'all know Harrison's pops in the hall. You know what kind of guy he is. But Malik Neighbors, he gave you 1,500 yards for LSU last year. 1,500 yards. What he can do with the ball in his hands after the catch, absolutely special. Marvin Harrison Jr., back-to-back 1,200-yard seasons at Ohio State. Imagine the whole world knows you're great. The defenses, they know you're great. They're double teaming you like you're great, and you still go for 1,200. So, family, when I think about a great draft class, this draft class will be one that we talk about for decades to come, and these players will be players that we talk about for years to come. Well, speaking of dominant players in college who are now trying to get theirs, how about the Cincinnati Bengals? T. Higgins, receiver for the Bengals, has demanded a trade. Remember, T. Higgins was a second-round pick out of Clemson when his name and number were called, and now he wants to go cash in on a payday. What does that mean for Joe Burrow, and how much will the Bengals suffer? We'll talk about it next on Speak. Family, breaking news for the Cincinnati Bengals. Reports say defensive end Trey Hendrickson, he has 17 and a half sacks last year. He wants out, looking for a long-term deal. But that's not it, family. T. Higgins, star wide receiver, he wants out as well. Bring us on camera, please. Higgins was franchise tagged a long time ago. James, I got to go to you first on this. You're the wide receiver. You know what I just realized as I was reading this? It's because Amon-Ra got paid.
Yeah?
It just hit me. I'm like, wait a second. He woke up this morning. He checked his phone. He saw Amon-Ra got 4 years, 120, 77 guaranteed. He said, I ain't playing on this tag. Yep. I need my
brother. All of them did. They just ain't responded. He the first one to respond. Brandon Ayuk said. they all looked at it. Justin Jefferson, all them boys, they looked at it. So, hey, listen, he might be gone. I ain't going to lie. T might be gone. They might have to let T walk because you got to pay Chase.
Yep.
And you can't have two dudes making $100 million at the receiver spot on your team. I would pay the pass rusher, let T walk, see what you can get for him.
This is what happens. You build a good team. You have a young team. Guys want to get paid.
T is good, too.
Yeah, and so is Trey Hendrickson.
Mm-hmm.
And they need him. Their defense was not good last year. They cannot afford that. I don't know. This is getting sketchy for the Bengals. I think T's probably going to end up not being there.
2-5. I know.
That's a tough one, man. I like T. Higgins. But you could, what's easier to replace?
Yeah.
A wide receiver or that part. A DN, you know? So I probably, man.
A DN with 17 sacks.
That yeah. part. I would keep him
in the NFL over the last three seasons.
And maybe try to trade, or not trade, but pick somebody up in the draft.
I think you can replace T. I like T. But, James, I think you can find 1,000 yards
yeah.
elsewhere.
But not only that, T's stuck, too, though. So, like, we understand you asked for a trade, but we tagged you. Mm-hmm. So, either way, you stuck for this year. So, it's not like they got to panic and hurry up and trade T. Higgins.
I want him to leave, though. You know why? Because he's the number one receiver. And he won't be that with the Bengals, mm-hmm. right? I think that we'll see. We haven't seen the best of T. Higgins.
Mm.
I want to agree. I don't know anymore.
What do you mean? What don't you know?
Like, I don't know if T can go get you 1,400 and 9 tugs elsewhere.
Why not?
Yes, he can.
With 45, 50 more targets, you don't think he could do
that? I like T, but when I think of the number ones, I don't know if T's as good as them. We'll talk about it.
All I'm saying is T. Higgins
run
is
the
built,
music, run the music.
T. Higgins is built to play with a bad quarterback more than Ja'Marr Chase. I'll break that down for you.
We can talk about that, because Yak is different with Ja'Marr Chase.
That. Throw the ball up is different, too, and let me go get that thing.
So Ja'Marr don't go get it?
Not like T.
Come on,
come on, boss.
Now you're talking crazy.
Are you serious?
Don't talk, man.
Are you serious right now?
The Heisman back where it belongs in Reggie Bush's hands. The Heisman Trust has agreed finally to give the Heisman back to Reggie. They took it from him in 2010, and after 14 years, it has been reinstated to him.
Deserved
it, man. Well deserved.
He deserved it.
No doubt.
I haven't seen anybody as electrifying like Reggie Bush in college.
Well.
Time. Ridiculous.
Well.
Ridiculous institution. Nonsense. Congrats, Reggie.
Keep going, Jojo. You don't get me.
We don't have enough time. We got 20 seconds. It's so stupid. Ridiculous to begin with. Everybody else can forgive it. You know what? It's done.
Look at that boy.
Congrats, Reggie.
Greatest high school highlight tape?
He gone.
High school highlight tape?
I'm in high school. I'll see you up here somewhere.
Yeah, Reggie Bush had the greatest high school highlight tape.
College and high school.
I used to watch Rivals highlight tapes all the time.
That boy, nice.